Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. In chapter 6, we saw the Lord teaching the disciples about discipleship. But as we are now in chapter 7, as we began 2 weeks ago, in the first 23 verses, we have been studying about the opposition to the Lord's ministry. So the theme is the opposition to Christ. And we saw in verses 1 to 23 how the religious leaders came and said that the disciples did not wash their hands through religious means, that is, in a religious ritual of washing the hands before they ate. And the Lord ministered to them about how they live by their traditions, and how the Lord is interested in someone's heart, not their religious performance. So he went on to say, that which is outside of a person is not what defiles the person. It's not what you take in from the outside, food and the religious tradition that we practice. It's not on the outside, but Jesus said the issues of life come out of the heart. Out of the heart comes the evil, so the heart is the one that needs Christ, not the human, religious, traditional part of our life. That's why it is important to understand that receiving Jesus Christ, for a lot of people, it becomes an intellectual or mental practice, but in reality, receiving Christ, the Bible never says, by the way, it doesn't mention anywhere in the Bible about accepting the Lord. It's one of my pet peeves over the years, is people say you need to accept the Lord as your Savior and your Lord. It doesn't say accept, it says receive. There's a difference between acceptance and receiving. Receiving Him, literally receiving His Spirit into my spirit or into my heart. My heart is what is corrupt. Not my religion, but my heart is what is corrupt. And that is what I need. Now, in the midst of this section on opposition to the Lord and His ministry, it's all about faith. It's all about faith today. We have the characteristics of faith mentioned in our text. What we are going to study this morning, the characteristics of genuine faith in verses 24 through 30. We also use some notes from Matthew's account of this very incident, the curing of the Syrophoenician's daughter, from Matthew chapter 15. Verses 21 through 28, so we'll be making reference to that. The facts about faith are important for the application of our text for today. We've gone over faith before, what it means, but we need to review the facts about faith so that we can make application to our text. First of all, faith itself. The word faith is pistis in the Greek, and it comes from a root word that means persuasion. Persuasion. Faith means persuasion. There are two kinds of faith in life. There is a human faith and a spiritual faith. A human faith is something that we practice every day. Every day we get up, we get dressed, we get ready to go to our destination. It's a kind of faith that we're believing we're going to get there. That's why we get prepared the way we do. We have a human faith that also carries over into religion. It is a human faith, not a spiritual faith. That's very important. The human faith in the religious realm practices persuasion. Human faith is me persuading myself. And you can understand that there are a lot of teachings in the church today, in the body of Christ, that appeal to human faith, not spiritual faith. Human faith is, again, persuasion. I'm told in some quarters that I need to persuade myself to believe enough in order to get God to bless me. That's human performance. That's not the faith the Bible is talking about. That's not the persuasion that the Bible is talking about. The Bible is talking about spiritual faith. Human faith originates with the human being. Spiritual faith originates with God. God is the author and the giver of spiritual faith. The human being is not the originator of spiritual faith. The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that Jesus Christ is the author and the completer of our faith. He's the author of faith. He invented it. It comes from him. It originates from him. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it tells us that faith is a fruit of God's Spirit. Faith is produced by God's Spirit in a person's life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9 tells us that faith is given to people by the Holy Spirit. I find that very interesting. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says that Paul ministered to the Christians in Rome and told them not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt and given to everyone a measure of faith. Do you know faith is measured by God? Whatever he wants us to do, whatever he wants to accomplish, he measures faith to us. In Acts chapter 14, verse 9, Acts chapter 14, verse 9, interesting, Paul was teaching and ministering in Lystra, and there was a man there who had been crippled from birth. And it says in the text, when Paul saw that he has faith to be healed, he said, stand up on your feet. When he saw the man had the faith to be healed, he said, stand on your feet. So faith is given, faith is measured. And when Paul saw that God had given this man the faith to be healed, he said, stand up on your feet. All lessons for us to understand what the Bible is teaching about faith. Faith is persuasion. That's the technical biblical name for whenever God's Spirit ministers to you and through you. We call it the ministry of the Spirit, which is true. But in reality, it's the persuasion of the Spirit. He's touching me. He's persuading me. He's ministering to me. He's ministering through me. He's leading and guiding my life. And so it's called persuasion. He's persuading me to follow him. So there can be a false presentation of faith, where human beings are told, you must come up with the faith, or else God can't bless you. It must be God that gives the faith, and God that blesses as he sees fit according to his will. For today, verses 24 through 26, to begin with, our text says, and having risen from there, he went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and having entered into the house, he was desiring no one to know, and he was not able to be hidden. For a woman, having heard concerning him, of whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, having come, she fell at his feet. And the woman was Greek, a Syrophoenician by race. And she was asking him, in order that he would cast the demon out of her daughter. Now, in the curing of the Syrophoenician's daughter, we see faith in action. We see faith persuading. We see faith doing the work. So I want to, first of all, a few things this morning. I want to draw your attention to the problem. This woman was a Greek. She spoke the Greek language. She was Syrophoenician by birth or by family, according to verse 26. In Matthew 15, verse 22, it tells us that she was also a Canaanite. So she was from the land of Canaan. All of which tells us that she was an enemy of the Jewish people. Two things about her situation as we study about the problem itself. Second of all, she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. She was from Phoenicia. And the Syrophoenicians lived in the coast, whereas the other Phoenicians lived in the hills. So she was from the coastland in Syrophoenicia, and she was called a Canaanite in Matthew's gospel. That's very, very important to show the problem and the severity of the situation. Now, if you're Jewish or a Hebrew, you understand that this woman comes in and she's a Canaanite. She's a Syrophoenician. This woman, if she came up and told the Lord her daughter is demonized, the response would be, that is what you get. You're the enemy. Your daughter's demonized. And so God's judgment is on you. She is considered, to Jewish society, the worst of the worst. And no wonder her daughter is demonized. And this woman has what we would consider, or a Jew would consider, the nerve to approach Jesus Christ with this request. It would be repulsive to them to have this woman make this request. So the first thing I want you to see after studying the problem is the persistence of the woman. These are all the characteristics of faith. The persistence of this woman. She came, and the text tells us in verse 26, tells us that she continually kept asking the Lord to help her. She persisted. The text in verse 26 says, and she was asking him. That's in the imperfect tense in the Greek text, which means she was continually, consistently asking him to be healed. We know in Matthew's text, in Matthew 15, verse 23, the Lord didn't answer her. Didn't give an answer. Genuine faith comes from God, and it does not quit. The faith that God produces can't stop. It must persist. It must continue on. In Luke chapter 11, for a moment, for faith is persistence in prayer and persistent in seeking the Lord, and faith does not quit. In Luke 11:1, which is the teaching on prayer, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And you know that Jesus taught what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is actually the disciples' prayer. But if you notice in verse 9 of Luke chapter 11, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone, so listen to the translation, for everyone who continually asks, receives. And the one who continually seeks, that person finds. And to him who continually knocks, it will be opened unto him. Persistent, consistent. God's faith continues. God's faith does not quit. If I have faith and trust in the Lord and I quit, I've been functioning under my own faith that I've produced. I've tried to have the faith in order to get God to answer. In reality, it wasn't His faith giving me to continue on. You remember in John chapter 11, when Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, the message was, the one whom you love is sick and about ready to die. So he waited. He didn't go, and Lazarus died. And a couple of days later, when he came into town, Martha greeted him. She heard that he was in town, and she said, Lord, had you been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus waited on purpose. He says this sickness is not unto death, and this death is not permanent. I am the resurrection and the life. But he told both her and the disciples that this all happened so that you might believe. He waited. He didn't respond. He allowed Lazarus to die so that he could raise him from the dead so that they might believe. He has a reason as to why he waits and why he doesn't seem to answer right away. As a matter of fact, when he doesn't answer at all, that's an answer. Keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking, because the person who is persistent, the person who continues to believe, that is a person that receives. That is the person that has the doors open unto them. Faith is persistent, continuous. The text in Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, Jesus says, it is because of the greatness of her faith that her daughter will be healed. Something that our text in Mark doesn't tell us. Faith is persistent. She kept on asking him to heal her daughter, and she kept on and was persistent. Jesus did not answer her. Verse 27 in our text for today. But Jesus said to her, first allow the children to be satisfied, for it is not good to take the bread of the children and to throw it to the little dogs. So thirdly, I'd like to point out to you in the text in verse 27, the priority. Jesus said, let the children be filled first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. This is a Greek word that has to do with the small house dog, the little house dog that's domesticated. In Matthew 15, verse 24, he said, I've not come except to the house of Israel. So that explains who he means by the children. The children need to eat first. They are the children of Israel. And the Gentiles are designated as the dogs. So we're talking, there's two words for dogs. The Jews had a word and used a word for dogs for the Gentiles and especially for the Canaanites. And word that got used that they were scavengers, the ones that hung out in the alley and in the street. This Greek word for dog is the little small little dog, the little house dog that is inside the house and, as I said, is domesticated. So it's kind of interesting how both Jesus and the woman would use the word for the small dogs, the domestic animals inside the house, because he's making reference to her as being inside the house, much like the Gentiles in the house of Israel. We know from Matthew chapter 15, verse 23, that he would not answer her. So she went after the disciples. In Matthew 15, it tells us that she started chasing after the disciples, nagging them to give her the help that she needs because the Lord wouldn't answer. You see what the situation did? It brought out something out of the disciples that the Lord wanted to deal with. We get so self-centered and so focused on ourselves as we pray to the Lord about a particular situation. That was her particular situation. It was her daughter that was demonized. But the Lord waited because there were other priorities involved. Interesting. Not just his ministry, the priority is the house of Israel, later the Gentiles. But the priority is our lives. And in our situations, sometimes there are other people involved that the Lord is ministering to, and he's drawing the problems that other people have that he wants to deal with, or other situations, and it is through our particular trial that he wants to deal with others. So the first characteristic of genuine godly faith is persistence. In verse 28, it says, and she ministered and said to him, yes, Lord, for even the little dogs under the table eat from the crumbs of the children. She's saying, you're right. No argument, no rebellion. She submitted to the presentation of the Lord. Notice in verse 28 how faith moves in her answer. She says, yes, Lord, for even the little dogs on the table eat from the crumbs of the children. You see what faith does? Faith takes the provisions of the Lord and is satisfied just with the crumbs. Do you realize just the crumbs falling off the table is enough? This woman showed her faith by saying, I don't need a full meal. I don't need much. I just need a crumb. I just need a touch. That's her faith in Christ. I don't need to sit at the table and eat the full meal just okay, I'm a little dog. It's okay. I will accept my position, and I will accept your provisions as being sufficient. As a household domestic dog that is under the table like the Gentiles, because the full meal belongs to the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She accepted her position and received the provision of the Lord as being sufficient. Interesting, in Philippians chapter 4, at verse 12, Paul was ministering to the Christians in Philippi about helping out with the needs of ministry. But he says, not because I have a need, I say this, because I have learned that in all situations to be content, whether it's to go without food or to have food. I've learned the very situation to be content, for I can do all things through Christ who empowers me. The crumbs from the table, that is all it takes. Just the touch of Christ to minister to the most severest of situations and problems. She received the Lord's provision as sufficient. That is faith. That's what faith does. Faith is persistent. Faith trusts in God's priority. Faith trusts in our position that we are not worthy. Who do we think we are in making demands of God? And faith receives the provision as being sufficient. The Lord is sufficient. Anything that He gives and the way that He answers is sufficient. Verses 29 and 30. And He said to her, on account of this word, go. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And having gone away to her house, she found the demon had gone out, and a young daughter had been laid upon the bed. Because of this word. Why? Because he saw she was motivated and moved by faith. Genuine faith. A lot of times the Lord will not answer immediately in order to test faith. Genuine faith does not quit. Genuine faith is persistent because it comes from God. And it's God's Spirit that's producing the faith. So she was persistent. You submit to God's priorities and the way that He handles the situation. So submission is also a key to true faith that comes from God. It submits to whatever God wants and however He wants to do it and whatever amount He wants to do it. She received her position for who she really was in the sight of God. She received God's provision as being sufficient. See, she exhibited that she was ministered to and moved by the divine faith that comes from God. These are the characteristics of faith, and her daughter was healed. It's important to understand, since we are of the faith. The Bible says that believers are of the faith, of the persuasion, that we understand this whole function of faith and persuasion. It's not human. It's not human in origin. It's spiritual. Faith is the presence and the activity of Christ in a person's life. Again, let me repeat that. Faith is the presence and the activity of Christ in a person's life. Him just being there We are of the persuasion. Faith itself does the work. We don't do the work. It's not him persuading us to do anything. James says in James chapter 2 that faith without works is dead. The word works is the word activity. Faith has activity. It's real. It's genuine. Faith without works is dead. God provides the faith which does the works. That's important to see so that we don't get stuck in the trap and some of the teachings that are very prevalent, and especially in America, that appeals to our culture and our lifestyle, because we want for ourselves. We want all that God has for us. So we want to be blessed with the material, physical realm. But in reality, God has a will. And his faith leads us to trust him, to put our life in his hands, to work out his will, his way, for his purposes. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have your word and your spirit, which manifests to us and reveals Christ to us and persuades us and ministers to us about the things of Christ. It's only the truth that sets us free. And we pray that your spirit would set us free to believe and to follow and to trust Christ according to the faith that God gives and he measures to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.